All right, everybody, grab your garden trowel and hope to God it's a merman. It's time for that movie podcast.
Here we go.
My name is Matt. I got a little fat.
Oh my God.
That was awesome.
Alright guys, I'm Jason.
I'm Matt.
And we got some guests.
I'm bleeding!
When aren't you?
Matt,
stop!
Hey, hold on. So tonight in the house, we've got special guest Rob Weeks from
Firefly Podcast.
That's
Balls and
right.
Bayonets
I totally
Why did you speak over him?
I don't know. But we're keeping it in.
I usually don't say the subtitle, but it
and
is
here's
Balls
the thing,
and Bayonets.
Here's the thing is you get to hear an even drunker Robbie Weeks.
What's that guy's name?
You guys get to hear an even drunker Robbie Weeks.
That's racist.
You get to hear an even drumper.
Drumper. So much drunker than usual.
You know what, Jason? Honestly, I've had about six times the alcohol by volume that you've had tonight.
I know.
And you're still more coherent than me.
I'm
still pretty coherent,
comparatively.
Here's the thing. That's always been the weird thing about the podcast. I've been the drunkest, but the most coherent.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
here's
yeah.
the thing is when I
as
get,
soon as we excised Bob,
I'm fucking done. I hardly ever drink. And this is what's funny about this being the drunkest podcast, the drunkest movie podcast you've ever heard is I hardly ever drink, and since we've been doing the podcast, I've been drinking a lot more than I ever.
See, that's the thing. Is
I think you should start drinking the day before.
You gotta drink us. Like every day, I get off
before
work
bed.
And I knock out a 3-pack and a couple shots. And then I go hug my kids, and then I don't kill myself.
I just can't do that because
well, that's the weird thing is because you don't have kids.
He has 4, dude.
I've got 4. I mean, I think
that's a litter.
I think I have 4.
He has a litter. Of
I never
children.
Got a DNA test, but you know,
he has 4. They know,
but they all look exactly like you. So
I don't know, Sammy. He's
short hair gingers.
Oh my god, dude. Okay, your kids are the cutest ginger kids I've
You're
ever
goddamn
seen.
Goddamn right.
Oh my god,
I mean, they're cute for gingers.
No.
Okay,
no.
I'll tell you one thing though.
Let's just
There's
say.
A rumor.
I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
Tell you what. Right.
There's a saying that gingers don't have souls, and that is not
true.
And I'm it's not true. And I'm gonna set everybody straight.
I'm gonna say officially, what I told the guy that I murdered the other day.
officially, I as a ginger, I am gonna set everyone straight on this rumor that gingers don't have souls.
Okay, let's hear it.
We do have souls.
Okay,
the ones we stole from you.
Whoa, my blood.
So
really, anyway,
when it
Rob,
comes down to it, you guys don't have souls because I've just sucked them through these XLR cables.
You probably did.
I guarantee you don't have a soul because you're too fucking cool to have a soul.
That's right.
And bitch. I never really... mine probably got sucked away... Oh my god.
It's all that
I'm not even
going to
say what I was going
to
say because that was terrible.
Yeah.
Does it happen?
I got sucked away in the last blowjob I had.
I sold mine a couple years ago, so...
I was going to say something way worse than any of that, and
way worse
I,
than a blowjob?
I honestly will not say what I was going to say,
I want to know.
He was going to say, like, I
pissed
out my soul last time
I
was on somebody's...
Because I am slightly... I am just in my mind enough to not say what I was going to say.
All right, well, don't say it then.
You're
but
just
also,
in your mind
also,
enough to not see what
also,
you were just going to say?
Not say.
Oh, okay.
Realize all... Have to edit out of this.
I know. I think that's a lot. That's gonna be like our trademark. That I just edit out the word. I think that'd be hilarious.
It's just gonna be.
Come here, Jason.
And you actually have to adjust the pitch for each.
So Rob.
Sharab.
Sure. So hey, Rob, you do things on the interwebs.
I masturbate a lot on Periscope.
Oh my god.
Wait, write down that website, please.
A lot.
So what do you do, Holmes?
I am the creator and cast member of Firefly Podcast Balls and Bayonets Brigade, which Jason was kind enough not to talk over this time. You can find us on Twitter @Firefly Podcast and basically @Firefly Podcast. because
anything.
Yeah. Our brand is fucking strong.
That's right.
So, which episode are we going to be on?
I want to do an episode for you guys.
It's going to be after episode 18 because we've already recorded 18 episodes and we just released episode 9, so you know you've got some content coming your way.
That's awesome.
Double almost.
Fuck yeah. Well,
that is exactly double, sir.
We're almost.
Almost. I mean, it depends on.
Double homos.
Double homos.
Sorry, I got lesbians on the brain.
Fucking you and me both. Mandar just
loves that badge.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So, anyway, what else do you do, sir?
I do a lot of shit. Like,
you do a lot of shit. That's why I'm trying to get you to tell us all the shit that you do.
He wears Loot Crate shirts.
I do. I wear Loot Crate shirts and my wife's workout shorts because mine weren't clean.
Those are kind of sexy, too.
I drink malt liquor and I play.
Yeah,
bass.
He goes to kids' parties looking like Louis C.K.
he looks like Louis C.K. when he wakes up in the morning.
You're goddamn right.
He doesn't do anything to look like him. He just does.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying he tries.
No.
Hashtag local Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. is my spirit animal. He's me 10 years in the local future and 10 times more successful. But yeah, no.
You know, he's actually Spanish, too.
Louis C.K.? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's actually not white at all.
He is
Spanish is white. Really?
No, well, Spaniard.
Hey, man.
No, it's not. Spaniard is white.
Who are you? Spaniard. People from Spain are white.
They are
Caucasian.
Are we going to get
people
into
people from Mexico
here?
Who speak Spanish are brown.
Let's get into genetics.
People make those who speak Spanish are fake.
They're
Spanish is from Spain,
and people from Spain are white.
No.
Yes.
No. They are. They're blue-eyed and blonde.
They're Spanish.
They're blue-eyed and black-haired.
Spanish.
Well, yeah, like Italian.
We have no way of
Italian. Not Italian.
Italian. I hate it when people say Italian. Would you like Italian dressing on that? No, I'd like Italian dressing. You motherfucker.
Well, no, it's Italian.
What are you, fucking communist? I want ranch.
No.
I'm a fucking American.
Italian has mayonnaise.
No, you're California.
Italian does not.
That's true.
I like vinaigrette. So let's go.
And fuck salad dressing.
Fuck horses.
Well, I tried once.
Fuck salad dressing. She's like.
I tried to
fuck. Oh my god.
Beep. I tried to fuck salad dressing and just goop and it didn't work.
Oh yeah. It's messy. It's very messy.
So, that movie podcast.
With Jason and Rob.
This is a thing with Jason and Rob, who are sadly the most sober people here right now.
You're
a liar.
Not even close.
No, you're right. Hey, Matt.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fantastic.
So what'd you do over the last week?
I recorded a podcast. I bought a new graphics card, but we ever heard about that, maybe.
No, that's
the next episode.
That's next week.
Okay.
Yes. But we don't have to talk about
it. So I'm thinking about buying a new podcast.
I'm thinking about buying a new podcast.
You buy a new podcast. That's terrible.
So, hi, I'm Rob Weeks from Firefly Podcast, Balls and Bayonets Brigade. I already gave you all my information, but today we're reviewing Cabin in the Woods. Yay. So, Matt,
are we?
Why don't you take us through the opening scene?
No, hold on. We gotta say the intro.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. No. Because Cabin in the Woods is not nearly as good as Serenity because I'm a fucking brown coat through.
I also agree wholeheartedly.
Well, no, he's right. It's not nearly as good because Cabin in the Woods is better.
Yes.
Oh, fuck you. Okay, you give the info.
See, Amanda,
I'm giving the tagline.
Amanda's laughs are so weird because she doesn't actually smile during.
Yeah.
If you ever
smile. I know, it's like a fake smile.
Okay. I'm going to do the brunt of this one since you did the last one.
If you've ever seen the.
All right, The Cabin in the Woods is a 2012 horror mystery thriller.
Spoopy.
Spoopy. Five friends go for a break at a remote cabin in the woods. Where they... that's the name!
Drink shots.
Shot of monster.
It's their word of the day!
Oh my god.
His bicycle was not in the Alamo.
Now it kills ourselves.
So, The Cabin in the Woods is a 2012 horror mystery thriller Five friends go for a break at a remote cabin in the woods.
Like Zoink Scoob.
Oh! Where they get more than they bargained for. Together, they must discover the truth behind the cabin in the woods.
Did they really discover it together?
They did not discover shit.
Two of them did. Two of them did.
At least.
I'm pretty sure two of the operators in the conglomerate discovered more than they did.
Alright. Tagline.
No, actors.
Actors!
Kristen Connolly, who is now currently starring in The Whispers as Minx's mom and resident just fucking dumb bitch. Like, seriously, everything she does in The Whispers is fucking stupid. And I
fuck
love
is The Whispers?
The Whispers the is a show that? That is super cool, and you can watch it.
But don't. But, is what you're saying.
No, no. Her character, her particular character, what she hey, does in that show, in is she is...
Yeah, choke.
Plug that shit with
you put
the
a dick in it, I'll watch it.
No, let him keep going.
Yeah, no. The Whispers is a badass show. It's super good, and it's got Peter Petrelli from Heroes. I don't know the actor's name,
okay,
but he's
so,
awesome.
So how about the cast Shut of up. Cabin in the Woods?
Kristen Connolly, who is also in The Whispers, she plays just this horribly fucking ridiculously stupid woman that makes all the wrong
so
decisions.
So let's just get through the cast and just...
But
so, cast, we'll talk
cast,
a little later.
She plays a really hot chick in Cabin in the Woods. Continuing.
So cast Kristen Connolly as Data. Dana? Data?
Data?
Did you say
whoa.
Also in Star Trek.
Kristen Connolly as Data.
That high.
Does not compute.
How about somebody else reads the cast?
All right. Without opinion, cast Kristen Connolly as Dana.
Dana.
How does
Dana.
Nobody know how to say fucking Dana?
It's Dana.
Dana.
Is it Dana or Dana?
It's spelled Dana. It's pronounced Dana.
It's Dana.
I know.
It's
Rosa
this new age of D-A-N-A.
That's Dana.
Dana.
DNA. How about right? Just call her DNA?
I know both.
D-A-N-A.
I know
Dana.
Both.
Dana.
So we're joined by Kelly Jones here, who's a spelling bee champion of 1997. Right?
I know girls are pronounced both ways, so...
Dana.
It's a toss-up.
Anybody who pronounces it Dana is a motherfucking communist.
Do they pronounce it both ways? Or
I say that. I say that, but they are very mean.
Is it during your rap? Is it during your rap?
His wide experience of women has
and
told
the McCarthy
him that.
era pronunciations of the word Dana.
All right, cast Kristen Connolly as Dana.
You fucked it up again!
No, I think you did it.
I like Dana. Go with Dana.
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Helmsworth.
And Thor is probably like the last role he
Thor
ever got.
As Kurt.
No,
Kurt.
No, actually he's
it's Thor as Kurt.
I think this was the only movie he ever did.
Okay, I do have one interesting point is that they
it's my dick.
They recorded and produced Cabin in the Woods before Thor.
Yeah, it was before Thor, or as he went through the process.
But they didn't release it because they thought that releasing Cabin in the Woods with Chris Hemsworth first would sully his name as
Hemsworth.
An actor.
Well, even during production, they're like, oh man, this guy's Captain America.
Yeah, no, Thor.
No, it's Thor.
No, during the actual production.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, this guy's like Captain America.
Yeah.
And so he goes on to be Thor instead.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am Thor.
Something, something, Asgard.
He never did anything after.
I have too many biceps to be anybody else but Thor.
Well, he's doing fucking Thor. What else do you need to do?
I'm Captain Kirk's dad. Anyway, Anna,
one of those works.
Hutchison as Jules,
as Tiny Boobs. Hutchison.
I literally didn't tiny, write nice boobs. Down anything except for Thor and
nice boobs is debatable.
The other chick,
they are acceptable.
They are acceptable.
I would say acceptable, but nice. And
I would take them
I
in
give
my
those
face.
Those boobies an
I
8
would,
out of 10.
I would not take them in my face. At that point, I would focus on the other assets.
But she never shows any other assets.
No. You better fight fat vagina.
You get the boobs in the face and go...
No. Because there's nothing to...
Yeah, it doesn't matter what size they are. You go...
But there's no motorboat action.
And if that's the case, you turn it around and then you do it on the other spot.
But then you get the poots in your mouth.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
That's not good.
No, it's very good.
How do you feel about this, Amanda?
After a warm shower, yes. Get that movie podcast.
Do you make that noise
in your mouth?
Do you make that noise in their chest or the butts?
As the other resident lesbian in the group,
aren't we all kind of lesbians?
I mean, we're all a little bit.
You guys are all cis white males.
Cis white males.
Yeah,
tits in your face or ass in your face.
I'm the resident red hot lesbian.
That Tumblr gif is giving me triggers right now.
I want to see what's the Tumblr gif. Oh my god, that's disgusting. Oh. Is that the merman?
No, that's the leech man.
That's wrong. That's what that is.
Fluke man.
How about Cabin in the Woods? Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. So Fran Kranz as Marty, Jesse Williams as Holden, Richard Jenkins as Stitterson, Bradley Whitford as Hadley, Brian White as Truman.
I seriously don't remember this.
I'm going to go to maybe this guy. Amy Acker as Lynn. Tim Dazam as Mordecai.
Tim Dazam!
I'm going to stop right there.
Amy Acker, right?
Is that the one that's on the Buffy?
Yes.
Is that the one that's
not on the Buffy?
On the Angel?
She's on the Angel. She is Fred on the Angel, and she's hot as shit.
And also on this, even.
Ugh. On the what?
On this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
on this dick.
She's hot on this D.
But,
Serena Double D.
The big part of my puberty was her on Angel, because...
Oh, Buffy. No, Angel.
Angel.
You're right.
What are you doing to me?
I'm sorry.
Why?
Wait, who are we talking about?
Joss Whedon. That's all that matters.
Joss Whedon, why do you do this to me?
It's true. Joss,
that guy looks like him.
I'm Joss Whedon. And I approve this message.
Jess Weldon.
I'm Jessica Weldon, and I approve this message.
Because you're a lesbian.
Trap the man's body.
Lesbino.
I'm a lesbian.
Also, there's one more cast member.
No, fuck that guy.
No.
Creepy guy?
No.
Is it Creepy Guy?
What? No, Creepy Guy's already... I already know.
Oh, who's that?
That was Mordecai.
Who's Mordecai?
I'm talking about Ripley.
Ripley?
What?
Ripley.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh, yeah!
Who was the director?
She's a transsexual.
No,
Ripley.
Was she?
It's the whole joke we were making last podcast.
Yeah, but she was the director.
She was not the director.
Who was she?
So the character director, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I'm thinking the director.
The director of the movie was not Joss Whedon.
It was Joss Whedon.
No, it was the other guy.
The director in the movie.
The director of the movie was not Joss Whedon. I don't remember
who it was.
No, it was.
The director
of
the movie was
Paul Anderson.
No. The director of the movie was Joss Whedon. Originally was not going to be... but when they were going through the screening process and all that stuff, Joss Whedon's like, you know what? I'm going to direct it.
IMDb, director, Drew Goddard, writer, Joss Whedon, and Drew Goddard.
Yeah.
Drew Goddard. Joss Whedon did direct it, though. He decided last minute that he's like,
fuck this shit,
I'm gonna direct
except
this.
For that Drew Goddard says it's his movie.
Well, if you listen to the commentary, which I did, tell you the story of how it happened, and it was originally gonna be not Joss,
but then he took over,
and then last minute it's
just like
you know,
fucking dick he is.
I'm pretty sure Mandar just did the "oh no, you didn't" snaps.
I did.
Oh no, you didn't.
It's all about the Joss
did the snap.
So, but I do have, okay, so Amy Acker is, she plays Fred in Angel, and also Tom Lenk plays, Andrew in Buffy. He's one of the evil trio, he's the gay guy that survives, everyone else dies.
Isn't that gay?
No, he's totally gay.
He's gay?
Yeah, no, he's totally gay.
No, you're
like, in the show,
how
he's
gonna
actually...
Does he suck an actual dick?
In the movie, he's not gay.
No, not in the movie. He's an intern. He literally says, I'm an intern.
Oh, yeah.
That's Tom Lane. He played Andrew and Buffy. He was one of the evil trio. So,
a fun fact about that, they actually had to write a letter to Canada for filming. Because they filmed in Canada.
Yeah. And I assumed, I even told my wife, I was like, I guarantee you that they filmed this in Toronto.
They did. Then there's a law where if you can cast a Canadian actor, you have to. So they actually had to write like an 8-page thing of like
to put him in there.
Why this guy has to be casted for this character? And they're like, there's just no one that could play this character, and it's just two lines.
In so they put him in, like his two lines are like, "I'm an intern," and the other
I'm
one
an intern.
Is
I'm from Canada.
No,
he doesn't mention Canada.
No.
But anyways, there's like the point that I'm making is there is a shit ton of Whedonverse like alumni in this movie. You got Tom Lank who played Andrew. You got Amy Acker who played Fred. You get Thor, Hayden Christensen. No, that's the wrong guy.
That's Anakin Skywalker.
Chris Hemsworth, who played Thor later on.
Wait,
is it Hemsworth?
Yes,
Hemsworth.
Look it up, bitch.
I thought there was a fucking L.
No,
there ain't no L.
And by the way, can I tell you that I appreciate the fact that you just screamed at me, bitch, and I'm gonna go home and fuck my wife based on that rage.
Oh, good.
Wow.
I bring it.
You're gonna bring it, at least.
I bring the pain.
I'm such a bitch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. That's
I was doing a humping motion there. By
that's
the way.
That's literally all the notes I have for the cast. So yeah, we're good.
Cats.
I'm the worst fucking guest ever.
Cats.
Firefly podcast on iTunes, guys.
What's that about?
And listen to this unedited version of that movie podcast.
Right, on next. Vimeo.
Vimeo?
Oh, can we actually make it through the cast, or did I fuck everything?
No, yeah, cast is fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, so let's go through
let's get to know Rob now.
Fucking shit.
What the fuck? We've heard enough.
I have a question that I want to ask Rob.
And also, yeah.
We've heard enough of me.
No.
That's okay, about
what
enough
do you
want to
know?
Me.
Ask him.
That's when we're not there yet.
I ask a question of every single guest that we've ever had.
Are questions.
You fucking kidding me? I'm
you
not,
knew this was coming like 8 hours ago.
I knew this was coming like 8 days ago. I'm not
Mr.
ready.
Weeks.
Mandar took the best answer.
Mr. Weeks.
Obviously.
You know our question.
Yeah. And it's going to be like, I've got a whole shit ton of options. And it's going to be like shitty because like, okay, yeah, I want the time one because I want to be able to take
right.
a nap.
Already
first,
taken.
Jason, what's the question first?
Okay, the question. If you could have one superpower, any superpower, but it has to be completely unique to you and it cannot be taken in the comics or by another member of our show. What would it be?
See, and that's the thing is, like, I want the time one to where, like, I can take a nap for 8 hours. Like, I can just fucking go to sleep and finally...
Who naps for 8 hours?
Yeah,
12 hours.
Finally get some fucking rest because I have 4 kids and that shit hasn't happened in 12 years. So, like, I can finally get some fucking rest, but that's already been taken. Like, the time control shit has already been taken. Matt fucked me on that.
So...
The next one, right, is invisibility, but everybody's done that shit. Because who doesn't want to go to the girls' locker room, right? So everybody's done that shit.
Have you seen the girls on the softball team? You don't want to see them.
Have you seen the
and
girls
they're probably
on
more
the
into
disagree.
Each other than they are dudes.
Have you seen the girls on the volleyball team? Well, everybody wants to see that
volleyball
shit.
Volleyball team, yes. Softball team, no.
Yeah, 100%.
That's just the attire, sir.
So I go by
that's
inspiration, and I listen to the it's show, which I do every fucking time it comes out, and everyone else should too. And I think, okay, well, I'm going to build off of something else that one of the other hosts said. All
right, so let's hear
and
it.
Then fucking, okay, exploding high fives. That's kind of cool. But
that's the best superpower ever.
You pronounce lame wrong.
It's super fucking. But it's it really is kind of cool.
Think
like,
about the scenario
original,
though.
But it's super fucking unpractical, right?
Yeah.
Dead fish from the hands is fucking the most practical shit I can think of because, okay, you have food and you can silver surf your way across the country on a fucking river of dead fish, right? That shit is badass. So I thought about all this stuff. I can't take the time control because Matt is a fucking asshole and he took it from me.
I'm sorry for being smarter and faster. And
well, it's not my fault that Jason put you on the podcast before me when really I should have been the new Bob way before Bob even left. Rest in peace, Bob.
See you next week, Bob.
But what I finally came down on, it couldn't be invisibility, it couldn't be time control, it couldn't be any of that bullshit. So what I finally came down on was control of lightning. Storm has weather control, right?
Yeah, but Raiden has control of lightning.
No. Raiden doesn't have control of lightning. Raiden has control of temporal space and time. And lightning is a part of that. And if you were as deep into the Mortal Kombat mythology as I am, you would know that.
I am, and he's the god of thunder.
He is the god of thunder. Not and lightning. Thunder. But thanks to the canon of the movies and Mortal Kombat 4, the video game.
Well, what about Rain?
Rain?
Oh! I don't even know what's going on right now.
The character Rain, he actually calls down thunder.
What about Thor?
Well, yeah, but Rain's a...
Yeah, Thor kind of has lightning powers already, too.
See, now I'm just fucked.
We're just all... Okay, how about this? Totally how about this?
Fucking shooting me down. Because, okay, my thing about lightning is, like, you control electricity, right? So, like, if I want to walk into a bank and take $1 million, I just fucking rub my hand.
So, like, Livewire on DC Comics?
Yeah, pretty much. You motherfucker. I'm a Marvel guy. I am a Marvel guy.
Did you have... Me too! High five! And you're dead.
And I exploded.
He killed you.
Okay, so okay, Rob.
I really should have spent like the 12 hours.
Like literally, just walk.
Okay,
just
so
Google.
Lightning
power character.
The 12 hours that I spent at work today thinking about this today was obviously not fucking enough.
Okay. So
hey, you got a lot of spots. We could do something with your spots.
I actually have so much. No, I don't have that much free time on my hands, but I come
more
up with
me.
The most ideas for superpowers.
All right, give me three and I'll pick one.
Okay, first off, now I've been compiling a list of original superpowers. Okay, first off,
I've been compliant in 29 seconds.
Okay, soundtrack. An audible music plays wherever you go constantly.
That'd be cool if I was an assassin.
Yeah, except for everyone would hear you coming because
everybody hears
around,
me coming anyways.
Dun, 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 is
no,
like
no,
going
no.
on to the background.
And it's only in MIDI files.
Yes, exactly.
They hear you coming, but they can't do anything about
it. How about this?
Everybody
one?
Hears me coming
or,
anyways,
oh shit, I'm
going to
die.
Blind.
Yeah. Shit, I died.
Yeah. There you go. So how about this? All right.
By the way,
so,
you have to bleep out every time we said coming.
Yes.
What's the next one?
So, okay. So here's another superpower. Empathy.
Oh, fuck
but
that.
No,
I have
get,
that.
Get it. Get, just listen
I know,
to it.
I have
listen
that.
To it. Okay. Empathy. You feel the collective emotions of everyone within a 20-foot radius, and you can't turn it off and you can't suppress it.
Yeah, I have that.
That sounds horrible.
Fucking is brutal.
If you're in a room with 40 people who are all as angry as shit, you're as angry as shit as 40 people.
No, yeah, if you're 15 feet from a woman on a period, you're fucked.
Yes, exactly.
Having empathy is something right? that I've had for my entire life.
How about all this right. one, which is one I actually have at work, is innuendo.
I like that.
You can only speak in innuendo.
You know what? Okay,
I only
of,
speak in innuendo.
Out yes. of those three,
in your endo.
That's the epitome
okay,
of the power.
Okay,
right
hold
there.
On, hold on. Okay, how about this? Okay, this one is a two-parter.
I want an actual good one, though.
Okay, this is a two-parter.
All right. No, I
the
have,
first one.
I have the.
I want to get through the two-parter
no,
here
no,
because it's
yours,
funny.
After yours, I'm going to give him his perfect superpower.
Okay. First is the ability to take anything, or I'm sorry, the ability to take everything literally, otherwise known as Asperger's syndrome.
No.
Or second part.
You just lost like 100 listeners.
Hold on. Or the second part.
You're still gonna listen.
The second. God damn it! Listen. So, or the second part to this superpower, or it's a separate superpower, but the second part, the ability to take everything literally, otherwise known as kleptomania.
I like your wordplay. I appreciate the wordplay on that.
All right, so my superpower for you is
I have one more superpower that I thought of.
Bitch.
But say yours first.
Well, okay. So let's describe the appearance of our guest.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's a ginger. Go on.
Big, fat, bloated, sweaty white guy.
I would not say fat or bloated.
You're a husky fellow just like myself.
He got tossed in the East River a week ago.
Yeah. If you describe him, you're racist.
You're a husky fellow.
I am.
Just swam across the ocean from Ireland.
I had a beard up until a week ago.
Survived on dead fish from Mandar's hands.
You have short hair.
I do. I have no hair.
You're balding.
There's no hair.
Like my balls. Yeah, short hair.
You have an orange goatee.
Do.
Orange?
Yeah.
Orange, okay.
What color is that?
Yeah, it's orange.
There are no colors.
Fuck you, Saint!
There are no colors.
It's orange.
There's black
His
and white.
Eyeballs are orange.
Bright orange.
In fact, just look at like stripes. An orange crayon, and you basically have our character.
Just look at an orange. It's fat and round and disgusting, and stares at you menacingly.
Disgusting.
That's me.
But it's so delicious.
Oranges are disgustingly delicious.
Yeah. So,
so you have the
oranges are great.
You have the power to transform your body into Joss Whedon or Louis C.K.
But see, then I'd be a villain.
Would you?
Either way, yes.
Would you
No. I would use my powers for evil.
Well, so is Jason.
I have one more superpower here that actually might
You're
be...
You're the double ginger!
Hold on. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, I'm the double ginger. Okay. I can transform into any other ginger on the planet.
Yes.
Period. Done.
Okay, there you go.
You know what? Bring it.
Weakest high five on the
I'm
show.
I'm also a nerd.
We recovered it. No, okay, Matt's right.
My power is
the doppel ginger. I can transform myself at will into any other ginger on the planet that I have ever seen or heard of and 100% convince everyone around me that I am them. So if I walk into a comedy club, I can be like, hey, I'm Louis C.K. and poof, I'm Louis C.K.
And then they're like, that was the fucking worst Louis C.K. show I've ever seen.
I get paid like $8,000 to do a 45-minute set at the fucking Chuckle Hut in Akron, Ohio, and it's the worst fucking set that's ever been done because I'm just like, hey, how about airline food? Yeah, exactly.
No, it's like, hey, how about in my mouth from the I've had in my mouth?
I'm so gay. I just suck dicks all day long.
Thanks for the editing.
I'm Louis C.K. and I like penises in my butthole. But honestly, I mean, like that would probably actually go over pretty well at a Louis C.K. show because he does a lot of ironic comedy.
That's true.
So yeah, so, I mean, like, so but had... then I could go to a Hollywood studio and be like, hey, I'm Joss Whedon. Y'all motherfuckers gonna approve me for a pilot?
Maybe
and
that's what happened on Avengers 2.
Also, Serenity.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Matt. Wow, you had my back for a second.
All right, I was with you up until that point.
You had it in my back for a second. So
you would agree for a deal just like Joss Whedon would have.
He made a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And a hand job or two.
I could use a couple.
So there was, there's two more.
You can't take space cheese from me.
That's not cheese.
So okay, I had two more superpowers that I'm kind of proud of, okay?
All right.
First one of the two, super bleeder.
Oh, no.
So the superpower
is...
We're going
to cancel that one right there. Move on to the next one.
The superpower is you never run out of blood. You can still feel pain. You can still get killed. But you can't bleed out from a wound because you have like an infinite supply of blood.
Oh. I've already got that.
Can I have AIDS?
Continue.
Wait.
Okay.
Just spread my
the next superpower.
Explain.
I want a piece.
What do you mean?
Pie so much.
I just explained it. Never run out of blood. You can still feel pain. You can still get killed, but you cannot bleed out.
Basically, you can't
die from
blood loss.
If you get cut to shit, like to ribbons, you're fine. You feel pain, you hurt really bad, but you will not bleed out.
Pretty much Wolverine.
Literally. No, because Wolverine heals.
Yeah.
You don't heal, you just bleed continuously.
You just keep bleeding?
Yes.
So you're like that chick that ran the marathon?
Oh my god.
Super powder.
No, my Gator doesn't go off.
Super powder. What's your super powder?
What's your super powder? Point the mic at
can you point your mic at your face?
That's like the fifth time I've ever had to do that.
Because it's fucked up, bitch.
Because you fucked that shit.
You done fucked it up.
How do you do this? What
you
is
done
this?
You fucked up.
No.
All right.
You can't put your hand on it.
My superpower is I have my hand on the goddamn mic. I would like to know what people think before they think it. Telepathy. There we go.
I've already heard, taken I've, by I've, countless I've, mutants and X-Men.
It has to be original to you.
Original
something
to me.
Something that we haven't fucking heard before.
Not telepathy. He wants to know what people think before they think it, so it's prophetic telepathy. That technically has never been done.
It's a Minority Report.
Just let it
go.
That's not
there you go. Precognition.
Precognition, but not what they think. That's what they do.
Let it go. Let it go.
I will stab you if you say that one more time.
Let it go. Let it
You're
go.
You're getting stabbed. He's getting stabbed. All hey, right, everybody.
Stabbing.
This is That Movie Podcast with Rob, Matt, and Randar.
Hold on, hold on, hold
because
on.
Because Jason has been murdered.
Yeah!
He got
a plastic knife.
He
a little
plastic
knife. That's
he's
terrible.
He's gonna cut your throat.
I'll slit your throat. I'm gonna go pee.
You better, because we gotta finish
it's
this episode.
I've gotta get this alcohol out of my system.
There's no such thing as a purely.
Have you ever seen an exploding high five before?
Have you ever
seen
you're
where?
About to.
In my brain.
Uh huh.
After listening to episode 3.
After I already said it. You have never heard of Dynamite Boy before until me.
My wife has literally
No, Jason.
And texted me like 7 times.
What?
My wife. I just texted her back right now. I was like, I fucking told you it was going to be late.
Yeah, me too.
Every time.
I was going
to
tell.
There is no original superpower.
Yes,
they've all been taken.
No, they haven't.
They've all been
You're
taken.
Just no, very
no, no. The doppelganger is fucking genius.
Have you heard
that
before?
You took it.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. Somebody took it.
Do I have to make up a superpower for you, Kelly?
All right.
God damn it. I just made one on the spot.
I'm really hot right now.
Ooh. Yeah, we know.
Right now? What are you talking about?
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, I'm really...
Just right now in particular.
Right now is especially hot.
Right about now.
The Funk Soul Mandar.
That's Kelly's power. You can only quote Fat Boy Slim songs.
That's your
power. No, that'd be horrible. I hate that.
No, Godsmack songs.
Nickelback. Cradleback. The Cradleback.
I wasn't trying to hurt him that bad.
No.
Godsmack
no,
at least
him,
has some good rhythms.
No, bring
I can only quote AC/DC songs.
I'm alright with that.
Yikes. All right.
For me, everything is Sabbath.
I have been thunderstruck, and I am out.
But did you shake her all night long?
I don't know. That's Thunderstruck. That's it.
You only quote that one song.
He's like, it's the only one I heard on 95.7 last week.
Okay, so Cabin in the Woods.
And right now, we're up to the point where I wrote 4 with an exclamation mark. And Kristen Connolly equals The Whisper, Minx's mom. Also, dumb cunt. Yeah, no, she seriously, if you watch The Whispers, the character she plays, she's written as a completely dumb cunt. Every single situation she's in.
I'm gonna bleep out cunt.
She starts off, you only bleep out
cunt. It sounds like
cunt.
Cunt
is just a little too raw for me.
Oh, man, now you're Whedon cast raw. Every situation she's in, she like starts off with the right idea, like, okay, but the whole scenario is there's this other world being that is manipulating children to get its own means. Basically, it's going to be an alien invasion on Earth, but he has to use electricity to do it, right? And it's actually really fucking cool show.
It's Raiden.
The nun from the nun from Sanitarium from American Horror Story. She's one of the main characters.
Are we talking about Big Trouble in China?
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. I want to, but it's already been done. Yeah.
So the.
But she makes the worst decisions ever, and you're like, why the fuck won't you just die? Your kid would be better off without you.
Oh, wow, that is awful.
It really is, but if you watch the show, you'll think the exact same thing. As a parent, I'd be like, if you're my wife, I would just fucking kill you so that my kid would survive.
Wow, that is awful.
It's pretty fucking brutal, but she plays that stupid of a person. Her husband's not that much better. But anyways, that's Kristen Connelly.
So the opening scene, though, when they had the two guys in the office building riding around on the golf court.
Oh, love it.
Cart. Golf court.
Cart. Kurt.
Cart.
Kurt.
The, yeah. Yep. So how did you feel about, like, the setting, though, that intro?
You know, it was kind of funny. And actually, this kind of, like, goes back to my whole spoiler alert thing where I knew nothing about this movie, and so all of a sudden when this thing comes up and there are these dudes in an office, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Like, I thought this was a horror movie.
That's how I was the first time I watched it. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
This was a horror movie. You don't have kids. You have no idea what horror is.
You've never seen
Okay, that's true. Whenever you walk in and your kid first discovers that he can, like, smear poop all over the walls.
Oh.
I still haven't learned that.
The first blowout diaper you have is the fucking...
No, well, my son...
That's the Blair Witch of your life.
Talking about potty training, when my son was first, like, starting to potty train, he would stick his hands and he would poop onto his hands.
Jesus.
And then he would drop the poop into the toilet, but Jesus. After he had his hands all covered in poop, he would start wiping them on the walls.
Oh, that's horrible.
At least my daughter, like, when she had a poop, like, there was one time where she took her diaper off, and then she pooped, and then, my wife knew she had a poop, and she was like, okay, she was beelining for the kid, right, from the back of the house to the front of the house. She was taking her diaper off as she walked away. I am following her, and I'm making sure that poop does not end up in my carpet. And then when she got there, the diaper was down, the diaper was clean. And then she looked at my daughter, who is 11 now. Hi, Beth. You're going to hear this in the future, and it's fucking hilarious. She said, didn't you have a poop? And my 5-year-old at the time said, yes. Yes, Mommy, I did. And she said, what did you do?
Is your child English? Like, did you have a poop?
Yes, mommy, I did.
Did I put some inflection on it?
Yes, mom. Yes, I did, mom.
Every once in a while, I lapse into an Irish accent, even though I'm California raised and bred. But yeah, so she said, yes, mommy, yes, I did. And mommy said, what did you do with it? And she said, I took it in my hand and I threw it. We never found the fucking poop. We literally never found it. It's 3 houses down from where we're recording right now. We never found the poop.
Oh my God.
To this day, the poop could still be haunting that house.
The poop stands alone.
Oh,
man, so the awesome. The intro, though, was intended to confuse the audience.
And I was thoroughly confused at the beginning.
If you know, I didn't watch the movie in theaters, but like if I did, and I got to that scene at the beginning, it was like,
yeah.
"Am I in the right show?"
Right? Yeah.
There would be poop everywhere.
Usually there is, but that's what was intended, was to confuse the audience and make them think like, "Am I in the right theater right now?"
Yeah.
And that what movie am I watching? That was a specific reason why they had the intro. I loved
the humor. And that guy, I knew him from watching The New Guys on, or not The New Guys, what is it called? That detective show. So that first scene, though, it really was kind of a mindfuck as far as.
I mean,
it was two guys talking about their families. Yeah, and what I loved is the movie was advertised as a horror movie.
So that was my whole thing, was I honestly didn't pay attention to the advertisements. All I saw was like, hey, this movie's coming out called Cabin Woods. Like, oh, fucking, just a basic horror movie.
That's all it was advertised as, Cabin in the Woods.
Like fucking Evil Dead, right?
Basically that. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a ripoff of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, Cabin in the Woods. And I didn't watch it till it came out on DVD.
Yep.
Same and when I watched it, it was like,
what the fuck is this?
Honestly, this was awesome. This was one of the best movies I watched that year.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Came out like 2011,
2012. 2012.
Okay. I didn't write that down.
I was really pleasantly surprised from the very beginning because I was expecting a horror movie, and when it started making me laugh from the beginning and continued making me laugh through the whole thing. Yeah. And to me, and I'm going to piss people off by saying this, but this is just my experience. Yeah. But this is just my experience as a whole is for me, horror movies. Yes, exactly. Okay. Let me say my thing.
My experience as
an
asshole.
And then call me an asshole. No.
Asshole.
My experience as a whole is just horror movies are kind of the lowest common denominator of movies.
Asshole.
And asshole. Yeah. And, okay, you say what you will. But you like know, me, rom-coms.
Lowest common denominator.
Okay, you know what? You got me there.
Yeah. Yes.
You totally got me there. Yeah. But horror movies are kind of the next
honestly,
thing.
Honestly, like literally the most grossing movies right now are...
Are horror movies. Yeah. And that's the thing is a lot of people just want to pay to see the most the gruesome gallows. Shit happen to somebody.
But see,
and
that's not the thing, though.
Fucking garbage.
Yeah, if you watch the shit that is coming out, like the ABCs of Death and the Gallows.
I love those.
Like, there are so many fucking horror movies that are taking art to such a higher level than
I wouldn't call those things art. Well, ABCs of Death, I really enjoyed.
ABCs of Death, okay, Gallows, D for Dog? Yeah. You're going to call that art?
Okay, ABCs of Death 2.
Some of them. Okay, part 2, yeah.
Part 2, I really like.
VHS, VHS 1, and half of VHS 2. Not VHS 3, viral, VHS, bullshit.
VHS 2 is really good.
Yeah, but viral?
Viral sucked. Blah. Viral really sucked.
Yeah.
1 was just, eh.
But 2 was great.
Yeah, VHS 2 was one of my...
But they're doing so much with the genre that, like, it is... Just
the shaky cam and all that shit, yeah.
But none of it is fucking... Like, not so much VHS, just horror as a genre. They're doing so much with it. And Cabin in the Woods, to me, was like the resurgence of the horror genre. Because before that, I mean, yeah, you had the shaky cam, you had the found footage, well, which I'm a huge fan of.
I like it a lot, you know, the found footage shit.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go back to VHS and ABC's Death, then they kind of overplayed it.
Yeah. Well, you can't really count ABC's to Death because it's an anthology.
Yeah. But a lot of them play, especially...
Quarantine.
Okay, so
As Above, So Below,
That was a weird thing. Wreck, I really liked.
It was fucking awesome.
Quarantine,
Well, it was an Americanized version of Wreck, so...
Bah. They had, like, their small differences, but it actually made a huge change for me.
Yeah.
So between the two, I like the Spanish version.
Way better.
And then Wreck 2, Wreck 3, I watched. I haven't seen the newest one, which is, like, boat or something.
I'm on a boat.
That's basically it.
Wreck 4 on a boat, motherfucker. Yeah, T-Pain edition.
That's the entire movie. It was just T-Pain just dancing around.
But I mean, what I'm saying is like...
Dolphins flipping and shit.
Horror is pushing the boundaries and finding new ways to excite you.
I don't know if they're pushing the boundaries, though. It's just...
Not mainstream. They're not mainstream, but
they're using a lot of the same shit. They're going for more shock value.
A lot of shock value. There's a lot of jump scares. But like when Insidious came out, there were no jump scares in Insidious.
There was a few.
You could qualify it that way.
Through the window.
That shit's not a jump scare. That shit's a pure...
It was, because that kid ran through the hallway and like...
But it's a pure creep out. Like, they blatantly show you the demon, like, just standing there sharpening his claws. Like, it's a pure creep out. What I'm saying is, like, I think horror as a genre takes more risks and pushes the envelope more than rom-coms and fucking dramas chase movies and shit like that, which I love me some Fast and Furious, but I think horror as a genre is just more pure artistically.
So I think
so we're through the cast so far.
I think Cabin in the Woods was an excellent parody.
Oh yeah,
and that's the thing, and I've tried to convince my wife about it because she doesn't want to watch it because it's a horror movie.
I think Cabin in the Woods definitely was a tongue-in-cheek, like Joss Whedon's tongue-in-cheek horror movie tropes flipped on their head, and I have an entire Whedonverse theory about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the Syndicate.
I actually, you know
what I'm talking about.
You're going to explain it better than me, but I've read it.
Yeah.
But I think, to me, this was a little bit odd because it was definitely a parody on horror movies, but it stayed...
It was Scream.
A horror movie.
It was Scream, but not nearly as lampoonish.
Right.
Yeah.
That was exactly it. It made a lot of callbacks to what
typical horror movie tropes are.
But then also just use them instead of like you said, like a lampoon movie would be. It was just we should make fun of it because.
But then they took it and they were like, "Hey, this is a trope. We're gonna make fun of it for a second. Then we're gonna use it to its ultimate end."
Yeah.
Which I like. That's why I like Cabin in the Woods so much, is because they lampoon the fuck out of it, but at the same time they also utilize all of the tropes to make it like work for the movie.
Yeah. And
I'm the drunkest one here right now, by the way.
I don't know.
So now you get introduced.
What I was saying, they introduced characters and all that stuff, and that's when it went.
Can I just say, as far as this movie goes, how it was talking about, we're talking about how it still is a horror movie, but it kind of
makes fun of horror movies.
When they have that intro sequence where it's like, what the fuck is this? Because it's not horror, it's definitely comedy. And all of a sudden they have that scream and it just says, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
To me,
that's kind of what set the tone.
It's just poking at what set the tone for me.
I loved it. Yeah.
And to me, like, it made me laugh. It was that kind of a thing where it's just like, oh my god, that's hilarious. Because it startled me.
It startled me for a sec, but it was just like...
It's very Evil Dead.
Yeah.
But, like, what Jason's saying is kind of...
It's not horror... It's not a pure horror, but it's a horror comedy,
and they let you know that right off the bat.
What I've seen with most of my movies is what makes me chuckle, and that's what made me chuckle the most was like, these two guys having having a white collar conversation, and then all of a sudden,
Cabin in the Woods, and then they end up on a sexy chick in her room in her underwear.
Well, because they had to go over the
and that's Kristen Connolly, and that's where you get all your character development, and you get Kristen Connolly.
Yeah, honestly, you do. And
you get it all at the very beginning. And then they go to the cabin.
But before then, you start understanding like who the characters are before they even leave. You're like, okay, this character is the philosopher. This chick's science chick, but also, oh, she dyed her hair. Her hair is different,
right?
So then you know
that, and you get a little bit of that later.
Before I start describing further, you have to watch this a second time because you know that later on these characters aren't the characters that they are.
The characters
in the movie play two characters at once. The main ones.
To me, I agree. Cabin in the Woods is to horror what The Matrix is to sci-fi. Because if you don't watch it twice, you're not going to get the references. Yeah. In The Matrix, what the fuck does she mean when she says, good luck, Coppertop? Like, what the fuck does that mean the first time you watch it? Second time you watch it, you're like, oh, she knows he's a battery in the Matrix and they're drawing power off his BTUs.
Right.
So he's a copper top, he's a battery, blah, blah, blah. So if you watch Cabin in the Woods the second time, when she talks about dying
that was my best viewing was watching it the second time.
Right, and Kevin. I've seen it like four times, and every single time I pull something new out of it.
Yeah.
Which to me is a testament to Joss Whedon as a writer and a director, which is why I chose Serenity and Cabin in the Woods.
Right.
Which is what really trips me out that he wrote Toy Story. Really fucks me up.
Did he really?
Yeah. He wrote Toy Story. That was his first big movie. And that's really... Joss Whedon, to me, his biggest life mission from watching everything that he's ever done except for Dollhouse, which I haven't seen yet, is that people are people. Fucking humans are humans. And everyone has one side or the other. And there's a side you can hate. Yeah. And there's a side you can love. But everyone's fucking human. And you have to walk a mile in another man's shoes before you can know what he's been through. And, like, that's the lesson I draw from every single thing that he's ever done.
I think with his narrative, it's always been kind of hard to disagree with the way the direction of the movie or the show goes.
Yeah.
Because he always writes very straightforward.
He's very linear. It's very linear.
Yeah. And one of my favorite quotes was from Marty in the movie when he's like, you know, there's streets paved with actual street.
Yeah. Oh my God, I have that written down.
Yeah. But that, you know, to me that goes a little bit further because that's always been Whedon. Like, he's always just kind of paved street with real street.
Yeah. He drives forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I read a quote by Kurt Vonnegut, which said, and, like, I'm not educated at fucking all. I literally saw this on a YouTube video while I was looking at World Star Hip Hop. I don't know how the fuck it... Yeah. I don't know how the fuck it came up. I like watching bullies get beat down. So, like, it was fucking cool. And then all of a sudden, a Kurt Vonnegut video pops up of an interview with him. And he said, if I can paraphrase, there are only two sentences you need to have in your story, one that advances the story or one that shows you the character's motivation. And to me, Joss Whedon is the epitome of that, because every single line, if you look at Serenity and if you look at Cabin in the Woods, everything that happens either leads you forward in the story or it leads you forward in understanding the character.
To me, Cabin in the Woods was the best example of that, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get your character introduction and you get, you know, some of the backstory at the beginning. Then they go into Act 2, and the biggest scene for me for Act 2 was the force field.
Oh,
and that's when I was like, okay, this is not what I thought it was going to be. This is,
you know, that to me was like the beginning of Act 2.
Yeah.
Like, once
that literally for me was the beginning of Act 2. It was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Like what is happening here? We know, like, at this point, every character in the story, which there's only fucking three left, four if you count Stoner Boy.
He kind of saved the world.
No, he did not. He totally did not. Yeah, well, he did not save the world.
He damned the world to damnation. Prevented the end.
No, he caused the end.
Unified Whedonverse theory at the end. He was the hero.
He was the everyman.
He was me.
Oh no, he was totally me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like,
As soon as that bird hit the wall.
Yeah, oh, fuck yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
This is a different movie right now.
You know, as soon as that bird hits the wall, because you've already seen the guys in the collective, which is a Buffy term.
But yeah.
But they're the guys in the underground, and they're the office mooks or whatever, and you think they're whatever they're doing, and then you see the teenagers, and they deal with creepy fucking, what's his name? The Harbinger?
Yeah, Harbinger.
Harbinger.
Mordecai.
I said Harbinger. You can tell I'm drinking.
Harbinger. Mordecai the Harbinger actually plays a huge role in this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and that scene where he was talking to the guys in the...
That was one of my favorite scenes.
Am I on speakerphone again?
Before that, when he's just like...
Spouting off like this.
Okay, but you got to pay attention to what he's spouting off. He's
quoting Leviticus and...
What he's spouting off, though, is that the fool is going to, you know, ruin the rest of his voyage.
Yeah.
He actually...
He's predicting the story.
He tells you what's going to happen. Like, hey, this guy is going to fuck things up, and he does. But nobody listens to him because, like, oh, he's fucking
Harbinger. It's hilarious because it's, like, supposed to be this some ignorant redneck quoting Leviticus the way a lot of ignorant rednecks like to do, and they don't understand that the new covenant of Jesus Christ, blah, 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 religion. And you're supposed to think that. But if you watch it two times,
yeah,
he's telling you the entire story.
Pay attention to everything that Harbinger says.
Yeah.
He predicts what's going to happen.
He's the prophet of the rest of the movie. Which is fucking awesome, because it took me a couple times to see that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get that the first time through. And oh, like I said, I mean, it's a fucking, it's correlation to the Matrix. You have to watch it multiple times to get everything that's happening. And you watch it one time, and it's a fucking awesome movie. And you watch it a second time, and you're like, holy shit, I didn't see that.
And honestly, like, I've watched this movie about 3 or 4 times beforehand, and this last time that I watched it, it's like,
whoa.
The Harbinger is like,
you fucking Keanu Reeves on it, right?
Yeah, no, the Harbinger is saying everything that's going to happen. Like, he's right. They should watch the Fool.
Yeah.
The Fool's the one that's going to fuck everything up. And that's what happened.
And see, the first time I watched it, I always thought that that was like a reference to the court jester who was the only person in medieval times. Like, you were able... The court jester was the cartoonist of our age. Yeah. They were the Charlie Hebdo of our age. To where, like,
you
were...
The man blinks.
Exactly. Yeah. You were allowed to poke fun at the lion in power because you were there to be the clown.
Right.
Even though you were the clown at the amusement of the unwashed masses, showing them the Emperor's new clothes. But, and that's the way I took it the first time, and then I watched it 2 or 3 more times over the years, and it dawned on me, like, holy fuck, he's, like, being literal.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally telling you the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And that's fucking genius writing to my, to me. I mean, you know what I mean?
That's how foreshadowing works.
Oh, like, hell yeah. That's the epitome of foreshadowing.
That's a perfect example of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And
that's just the fucking, like, that's the first, what, 30, 40 minutes of it?
It's honestly, like, about the
first. Yeah, that's, like, right after that is when they actually had the first kill.
They go to the cabin.
Oh, it's literally, the first 20 minutes, and that's when we go... You know,
I do have a note here.
It's when they go, you know, streets paved with street and stuff like that. Yeah. That's like 15, 20 minutes into the movie.
I do have a note here that at 41 minutes, almost exactly, is the first and only time you see titties in this movie. So if all you want to see is titties,
fast forward.
41 minutes.
The blonde chicks. Right. Well, so 41. Actually,
41.
So okay. The
I had to have that bit of minutia there.
Well, there's a reason why, though. They wanted to separate sexuality from the violence of the movie.
Yeah.
So you see, you know, the titties.
And they have a very, very noticeable change from the scene where the first kill happens.
Oh, it is Shakespearean like a motherfucker.
Yeah, so it's, like, super sexy. There's all these titties.
Also, well, I dropped out of high school at 13, so...
just one set of titties, I guess. But then after they're revealed, then her hand gets stabbed, and then we're getting into violence.
Yeah.
And then after then, her shirt goes back on. You don't see titties.
You don't see shit for the rest. You don't even see a naked zombie's butt, which they show on The Walking Dead constantly. It's because zombies, obviously, they're not going to be caring about clothes, so you can see some butts every once in a while.
So they want to.
You don't even see that shit. They
want to show the separation between violence and sexy.
There is a distinctive separation
maybe 10 minutes before they have the werewolf scene.
Yeah.
Which is before the actual tits show out.
And which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, so the there's a scene where she's dancing in front of a wolf's head. And
she's dancing in front of the mantle, and she's doing, like, literally, she's doing a striptease without taking her clothes off.
And there's a feeling a street would strike everyone. It's either, oh my god, this is super sexy, it's
fucking awkward as hell.
So it's, oh my god, this is super sexy, or oh my god, this is super awkward, or oh my god, that wolf's head's gonna bite her face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so, well, to set it up, like, she's doing the dance in front of the mantle, and it looks like she's just impromptu doing a fucking striptease in front of her boyfriend and these other three people.
And her boyfriend's into it.
So she makes out, they're playing a game of truth or dare, and somebody dares her, the stoner kid, says, I dare you to make out with, and her boyfriend is like... naming the other girl, like, oh, please, God, make my girlfriend make out with this other girl. Which, by the way, I'm fucking fully for. That would be awesome. And he says, that wolf's head on the wall. And so she goes over and she does, like, this serious, like, really, she's super into it.
It was too,
like,
serious was what threw me off. It's
too,
like,
sexual.
I'm one of the people
because she was all crazy on hormones.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, either she was the best actress ever... Or she was super fucking horny for this wolf head.
For me, I was, you know, I'm one of the people who thought, like,
that fucking, something's that, wrong.
I thought that wolf face was going to bite her mouth or something.
Oh, dude, I was talking... Okay, I watched... I've seen this movie like 3 or 4 times. I watched it the first time with my wife. I watched it a couple times by myself. And then I was rewatching it to come back on the show. Oh, yeah. Oh, honestly. Just that. Well, only at 41 minutes. And then, you know, it took me 30 seconds. And then I was done with it. But, no, seriously, though. Like, I watched it this time. I watched Serenity, and I watched this with my wife because I told her, hey, I've got this cool thing that I'm doing with that movie podcast with Jason and Matt. Sorry, Bob. But, like, she was interested, too, because she really loves that movie, too. Like, horror is our thing. And so, like, we watched it, and we were both creeped out at the same time. And I literally, like, I pointed out to her, I was like, they are making it seem like that wolf, like, I've seen this movie 3 times, this is my 4th time watching it, I'm still waiting for that wolf to bite her lip off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still waiting for that, because that's what they're building to. And
she powdered the wolf's face with powdered sugar
to
make it more enticing for the actress.
There was something there was something about that scene that made it to where I don't think she's that good of an actress, but she was that fucking good of an actress in that scene. Yeah, it was just that beautiful.
All right, so, you know, we talked about kind of the build-up to basically the meat and bones of this movie, which is kind of where
everything was kind of presented up front.
Now, what I liked about the movie is it didn't linger so much on the horror.
Yeah.
It hits the horror spot, and then is where the movie actually takes off, which is like you're saying, about 41 minutes in, the movie starts, it just finally takes off.
As soon as the blonde chick gets hit by the bear trap, that's when you're like, oh, it's not like a reality show or anything like that. This is it.
Before that happens, they all go down into the basement.
In the cellar.
Because, okay, so when they hit the truth or dare thing for Kristen Connolly, they make fun of her for always going truth, like Chris Hemsworth, Thor. Who I've been calling Helmsworth this entire time.
Thor.
So Thor says, oh, yeah, you're going to pick a dare, and then as soon as you don't like it, you're going to go to truth, and you're going to puss out. And she says, okay, fine, fucking truth. Or dare.
Dare and they
said. And then all of a sudden, bam, the cellar door pops open. And he goes, like, okay, I dare you to go down there. So they go down there, they're looking around, they find all this weird shit. The one guy is like, hey, dude, your cousin who owns this cabin is like totally into some weird shit. They start picking up items, right? Soon as Chris Hemsworth, the first time I watched it, I didn't get, okay, so the ballerina...
That he had the Hellraiser puzzle.
The Hellraiser puzzle. Cenobite.
Well, that was 500%. Like, it wasn't it, but you knew what it was.
But it was.
Yeah,
instead of a cube,
it was a sphere.
And he was getting ready to hit that button.
No, he hit it. He opened it. He hit it.
He didn't hit it. No, he clicked one of the signs, but it didn't actually open it. He didn't finish the puzzle. Yeah, he didn't solve the puzzle. And the thing for me was Chris Hemsworth has the conch shell.
Yeah.
And he's about to blow on it.
He blew
the dust off of it, and anyway, it made like the... And it, yeah. It, like, it made a little bit of a noise, but it didn't activate.
I think that's one of my favorite scenes. The entire mermaid man build-up.
That mermaid thing.
That shit was awesome. So, you know, you have that, and then the actor is going, you know...
Oh, seriously? Oh,
he had it. He had it in his hands. And like, you don't want that.
He's so disappointed.
Just the cleanup's gonna be, you know.
One day, man. One day.
But just the cleanup on that is gonna be terrible.
But yeah, the entire cellar scene to where they're all picking up all these things, and then she picks up
and
the
every
diary.
Single item could summon some sort of
even the wolf face could summon something because there's a werewolf at the end. But yeah, every single thing in the cellar is going to activate something terrible.
Yeah. And so you got her, Kristen Connolly, who is apparently the lead in the movie, which up until this point, you don't really realize. And then she kind of takes over at that point.
Either her or the stoner guy.
Or the stoner,
which
right?
Which is funny because he was sort of the like reluctant hero, and I was so pleasantly surprised to see him. Like, through the first half of the movie... he's barely in there at all, and then all of a sudden it's just like boom,
stone,
huge character development.
Yeah.
So let's start going through.
All right. So Torrents of Blood. Let's go to favorite scenes, which I want to start because my absolute favorite scene.
Scenes or lines?
Let's start with scenes.
Okay.
Scenes because I want to go from there. Because the buildup, the buildup to the scene.
I have two, so I'm going to cheat this time. I have two.
So I'm going to steal both of your guys's. It was the mermaid.
The
merman was my most favorite scene, and just the buildup to it.
Yeah.
He wants to see
a merman bad.
Yeah, so they somehow built a mythos to a merman within an hour and a half movie.
Yeah.
And just like, okay, I want to see it too. And then I do. I was like, oh, I wish I didn't see
it. Yeah, right. And that's the exact same. And then, okay, once he sees it and he's like, are you fucking kidding
come
me?
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the merman goes to work on him.
Yeah.
And like, that's where the fucking, like, then you realize what the other guy was saying, like the fucking cleanup.
Because
instead of a dorsal fin, this guy's got a blowhole.
Yeah,
and everything he's consuming is getting blown out the back end.
Yeah, so disgusting.
And,
that shit is fucking brutal.
Even the filming, like, that was a big part of it, was like, they let it go until the blood reservoir
was fucking done.
Yeah, so it's just kind of.
Yeah.
That's just so much more messy. A second part would have been like the unicorn, because
the unicorn. I
laughed
awesome.
So hard when this unicorn, like a unicorn, is supposed to be such a magical, wonderful beast.
Like it's like
and it's all glowing light, and it's just like slaughter.
Overall, it's gonna be the merman, but general is gonna be just the release of the monsters.
Okay, and here's the thing. Okay, when I was watching the movie, whenever they were at, like, doing the thing, when they were actually picking the villain, and the guys were like, "Oh, I wish they would have done that. Oh, I wish I would have done that." Like in my head, I was thinking they're gonna fight.
Everything.
What I was thinking is, like, because, you know, they were being chased by the hillbilly people, and they got whenever the chick got killed, and then they all gathered back up in the cabin, I thought they're gonna go back down there and start summoning monsters to fight these guys. And I was totally expecting them to pick up the conch and summon the merman that was gonna come out of the lake to fight
like
the hillbilly
monster
guys.
Versus monster,
and I was getting so excited for that. Like, yeah, monster versus
honestly,
monster.
Yeah, like I thought
that
would have
been
thing.
Hilarious. And it could have been so funny, like one of those Benny Hinn things that go.
But you're talking about like a 3-hour movie at that point.
Yeah. And like all these monsters like fighting each other, but it's all like slapstick. And I was expecting that, and when it finally happened, it was not like I expected at all. And it was even more awesome because, like, there's that scene where they finally come out of that little control room, and the entire room is just completely drenched in blood.
It's fucking and you all can you see, like, arms
and that,
slapping
that's,
the window.
That's my
and shit.
Favorite. That's my favorite scene is where they step out and. It's just this really, like, awkward scene because, like, the two people are just standing there. And you see in the corner, there's, like, three zombies, like, eating spare parts from other people. And they're just kind
of,
like, and they just kind of, like, walk away. And the zombie, like, one of the zombies, like looks at him. And he's just like, and then just goes back to eating. And it's just like, well, this is awkward.
Yeah.
That was my favorite scene right there. It was just because they take that whole horror genre zombies eating people that terrifies so many people,
and it's just,
and they made it funny.
They basically made so much horrendous shit happen that zombies eating people was like
the least
of
calm
their
part.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
They even had the freaking rape tree from Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Oh
my god, I was glad you noticed that. Because when they first
I gotta cut in really quick. Did anybody see the flying purple people eater?
Oh hell yeah!
I didn't see that.
Oh my god!
Purple people eater.
I was in the top corner. He just basically comes flying out of the elevator. He just goes like, meh! And then that's it.
I did see that.
It was.
They even had the Left 4 Dead zombies in there.
Yeah, they had the Left 4 Dead.
They
zombies.
Had Reavers in the movie.
They had Reavers. They had Cenobite.
Cenobite was obvious.
Like he was way later, and then also when they're riding down in the elevator, there was a huge scene with him, which I thought was super great.
Which one?
Yeah. The Cenobite with the circle puzzle.
Yeah, when
the Hellraiser.
When they're coming down the elevator and they're seeing some singular monsters.
I like how calm he was too.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the thing is, if you watch the Hellraiser series, that's how they are. Even once they're unleashed, they're very calm and collected because they're all about experiences. Uh-huh. It's not about pleasure for them. It's about experiencing the next thing.
Also, they want the revenge on the one guy.
Well, yeah, that too. But, I mean, like, it's just fucking...
For letting them out?
Yeah. Well, no, for running away from them.
Yeah. It's that's a whole different... The whole different series of
So, Clive Barker...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, favorite character. So, oh, wait, you got a favorite scene.
So, my favorite scene... I have two favorite scenes. And, let me see. Shit. Fucking, I have... Okay. So, yeah. So, my second favorite scene, which I have to reference... is when Thor rides his dirt bike trying to jump the chasm to
escape. Yeah, because you have so much hope.
Well, right then. That's not even it.
For me,
when he hits the force field and starts falling down, did you notice he keeps hitting the force
field? Yeah.
It's like getting sucked
towards
it. It's
a reverse Magnus effect. And if you Google the Magnus effect or the Magnuson effect, if you take a basketball, spin it forward, and drop it off the edge of a dam, it'll fly 100 yards out. Hmm. But if you spin it backwards, it'll just keep bouncing against the dam as it goes down. And it's actually got horizontal movement. They used science in that scene because when he hit it, he started spinning.
And then he just keeps hitting.
He endoed over the handlebars, and so he was spinning a certain way, and so it just kept smacking him against that force field, which kept lighting up. Which, like, showed them how deep the chasm really was, which was basically deeper than the Mariana's fucking trench.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that was, to me, a very visually striking scene. And at the same time, it showed me that they had done a little bit of research for this movie, which was really super cool. My favorite scene, and this is the Calvinist and the nihilist in me, is when at the, literally the end of the movie is my favorite scene. When,
yeah,
they don't do the sacrifice, and the old god, his hand punches up, kills one of the ancient ones. One of the ancient ones, and not to make it Cthulhu and freaking H.P. Lovecraft.
Cthulhu. Oh my god.
But anyway, so the old god's hand punches up through the chamber
and it just smashes the
virgin
camera.
And the stoner in, so obviously they're dead.
Does he have him in the hand?
It just no. It smashes up through that chamber. Uh-huh. So it's destroyed everything up through that, all the way up through the facility.
So yeah, your two main characters are dead.
Yeah, everything in there is dead, all the way up through the main facility, and it reaches up like 100 yards into the air, and then just slams down, and it's just like this molten lava hand. Yeah. And like that,
and that's
to
so
me,
final.
Yeah, it's so, exactly, it's so final, and it's so, like, I have very specific beliefs when it comes to the apocalypse and how much I want that to happen and how nihilistic and Calvinistic that I am as a person. Even a father of four children, I think that the world needs to fucking, you know, people are not really that great and they need to go away so the earth can just do its thing. And that's me as a Christian. Like, I want to just fucking, let's just all go to heaven and hell and work our shit out there and let the earth do its thing. You know what I mean? Like, so when that ending happened, I was like, fuck yes. Humanity is over. It's fucking done. There's no more politics. There's no more arguing. There's no more bullshit. We're all just fucking dead, and it's someone else's turn. Like, I took the stoner side 100% in this movie.
Yeah,
like,
the humans were the bad guys in this whole movie.
And it's the same thing with The Matrix. Maybe it's time for someone else's turn. We are, the way that I think about it is, we are parasites on the earth, because if you look at the way that humanity works, we move into a section of the world and we suck it dry like a parasite. So, like, to me, I'm on Agent Smith's side. I'm on the old one's side. I'm on the stoner side. Like, I agree with that shit. As much as I don't want it to actually happen because I love my children and I want them to have long, fulfilled, happy lives, when it comes down to it, if you boil it really down to my actual philosophy of life, I think human beings are shit and we all deserve to die. And that's the whole thing, like...
Yeah.
That's how it is. 100%, like, I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, to a degree.
So that's why that's my favorite scene. It's a philosophical thing.
Yeah. On a smaller point, like I definitely agree with that. But to me, it was like this entire thing explains why we're afraid of what we're afraid of. Because of all these monsters, they exist. We've captured them, but they're real.
Yeah.
So, you know, the reasons why we're afraid of the dark, we're afraid of things with sharp teeth.
You're afraid of the dark doesn't mean there's not something in the dark.
Right.
You're not afraid of the dark, you're afraid of what lives there.
Well, I'm afraid of what, like, has been passed down to me type of thing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to watch Babadook.
All right.
Yeah? Did you love it? Mm. Psychological. All right, guys. But, yeah.
All right. Favorite character?
Oh,
I don't think I did my favorite 100, 100%. Scene.
Oh, what's your favorite? Yeah, scene. You did.
No, I didn't.
I thought you did.
No.
Alright, let's hear your favorite scene, man.
Alright,
We really got to wrap this.
It was a mermaid.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured. Favorite character. Mine was Hadley or Bradley Whitford.
Yeah.
Oh man, that guy, the fact that he wanted to see that merman so much, like, I love that. I just love how passionate he was.
He was just so fucking funny.
He had
funny
a conch
too.
In his hand.
Yeah. Oh man, it was just so funny too. Like, he was really funny. I feel like he really was the funnier of the two of those.
Oh, he was the comedic
operators.
Foil of the entire movie. I feel like I loved him. All front
like
start
if,
to finish.
If it was game, they split up Cave Johnson into two. Two characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And, right? And yeah. And he was the
portal reference for those of you who don't know, but 100% spot on.
Cave Johnson.
But, yeah, but I think he was the more comedic side of
definitely.
Of it.
All right,
and
Rob.
I'll
go on.
I'm getting out to it. Also, he was my favorite character.
Oh,
nice.
Cool.
And I just thought there was a bigger build up to that scene. It was just like.
The whole movie built up to that scene.
You know, like, why does he want the merman? Oh.
That's why.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to about that, now let's get deep, real deep, is humanity has this curiosity, and all the time, if it's something we don't know about, if there's some sort of a mystery, we want to know whether it's going to hurt us or not.
And then, right, when
he
we...
He is the embodiment...
Right. Yeah.
Of that sentiment.
And we're about to see it like, oh.
That's actually deeper than I went with that scene. That's actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah, so he is like that embodiment of that whole human curiosity. And it shows you just what curiosity actually will get you.
Yeah. It kills the cat.
Exactly. kills the Cave Johnson.
Are we the scenes?
Yes, your favorite. Oh, no, your favorite character.
Scene. He hasn't seen.
No, I did see. Okay, I did two of them.
My favorite character.
My favorite character has got to be the stoner, just because, like Matt said, he did play dual roles. Even though I debated you on it, I still agree with my position because he never changed himself. His dual roles were caused by the bar dropping by everyone else.
Right.
So when the chemicals affected everyone else, and they went from being the sociology major to the boneheaded jock. He went from being the stoner to being
the philosophy major.
Yeah,
no, the
exactly.
Philosophy major to the philosophy major.
Yeah, well, pretty much. Yeah. Which is, you know, you can
you
encapsulate
things
that
with
stoner. Yeah. And so, like, for me, like, he played the same character all the way through. And like Jason said earlier, he's completely stoned. He's freaking Shaggy. It's like he's doing. He's speaking these truths to these people.
I'm in a
and then
reality
he's like,
TV
did you say
show.
Pop-Tarts?
My parents are gonna be so disappointed.
Yeah, and then
Pop-Tarts.
Did you see Pop-Tarts? Yeah. He's like Pop-Tarts. The Puppet Masters, and she's all the Puppet Masters. He's like, did you say Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
And so, like, you can tell, like, he's fucking blazed out of his mind, but at the same time, he's the most straight one there when it comes to being in his own head.
He's the most honest.
Well, he's the most, like, he's just
everyone,
him.
Everyone else, well, yeah, that's the thing. He's just him. Everyone else had this kind of persona
they all
that
had
they were
influence.
Putting on.
They had outside influence that made them play the part of the five sacrifices. And so, for me, he was my favorite character. I think for the fact that I identify a lot with him, because when I hang out with people that are high school dropouts like me, but they're vulgar and this and that and the other thing, I'm me. And I may speak a bit more vulgar, and I may, like, speak at their level.
You're the type of guy that's afraid of cops, but then locks their door with the windows open.
No, no, no. Like, what I'm saying is, like,
That's what that guy did.
I'm the chameleon. Oh, yeah, no, he totally did. Well, he wasn't afraid of cops, though, because he was smoking a blunt, or smoking a bong on the way.
Because they fear him.
Yeah. But no, right. the reason I identify with him is
I'm almost out of battery life on my phone.
I
have all my notes on my phone.
Oh. Why would that one's phone?
The reason
notes are not
I hate you. The reason I identify with the stoner is because he is always who he is, and he makes it identifiable, and he is able to converse with the people that he's with. When he's with them, when they're the sociology major and the hot chick with a high IQ and stuff like that, he is him, and he's talking to them. And then when they've all been influenced by all these chemical additives, he can still be him, but communicate his points fully. And, like, I identify
it's
with that.
It's not that, like, he knows that there's something, like,
yeah,
trying to...
He's, like, he's a chameleon, but he's always in his own skin. And that's how I feel, like, in my regular life. Like, mm-hmm. I talk to friends that I made when I was 13. And, you know, I talk to them...
Like you still were, but then they're
like
still...
I was when I was 13. Because they haven't advanced past that point. But then I talk to people that I've met since I've been 25. And I talk to them like a completely different person. But I'm always still me.
Yeah.
And so, for me, that was, like, I identified with him 100%. Because he never really... in his heart changed all the way up until the end. Even when the chick tried to kill him and he was like, well, I'm going to let that werewolf chomp on you.
Well, yeah,
I'm
going to
let
that werewolf nom on your face. Because, you know...
And he still felt bad about it, which is like... That,
you're going to let me die, but...
So like, basically, you're going to shoot me? I don't want to do this, but there's a werewolf there. He's going to nom on your face.
He pulled a Mal.
Yeah.
Yeah. One kind. We really did.
Jason, best actor.
I already picked my favorite character.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did I?
We're on lines.
Yeah, we're on favorite quotes.
So, Matt, what's your favorite quote?
Well, favorite character. I haven't.
Yeah, you did.
You did. Wasn't. You said it was Hadley.
Hadley. You agreed with him?
Bradley Whitford.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Matt, what's your favorite quote?
Also it was Morty. Favorite quote.
I got a couple.
I've got two.
I have at least two. The first one I put down was Mordecai, the Harbinger. Just because he kind of... He built up the rest of the movie within, like, you know, 15 minutes.
He was
minutes.
That typical... Yeah, it was so funny how he was that typical, like...
Well, he was what he was.
Omen of death.
Yeah, he was the
same
first
time, he was the opposite.
Yeah, that's what he was. He was the Harbinger, and his character was the Harbinger.
Yeah,
it was,
but then he's like, "Am I on them. Speakerphone?"
Yeah, cleanse them, cleanse the world of ignorance and sin, bathe them in the crimson of pauses. Am I on speakerphone?
No, I wouldn't.
No, absolutely not. Speakerphone? No, I wouldn't do that. Yes, I am. I can hear the echo. Oh my God, you're right. Hang on 1 second. I'll turn you off. Click. That's rude. I don't know who's in the room. besides that one was, when they're making the bets of which monster was gonna...
Oh, yeah.
Was gonna attack them. It was the wiry girl versus Tenzin. That's not fair, I had zombies too! Yes, you had zombies, but this is zombie redneck torture family. Entirely separate thing. It's like the difference between an elephant and an elephant seal.
I like that part.
Mine, we kind of made a mention of this, but one of my favorite quotes was when Marty goes, statistical fact, cops will never pull over a man with a huge bong in his car. Why? They fear this man. They know he sees the future, and he will bind them with ancient logics. And what's so funny about that, the reason it's my favorite quote, is because in retrospect, after finishing the movie, I like it mostly because of the foreshadowing about how Marty becomes the one who discovers that they're being watched.
Yeah.
And how they talk about the ancient ones and all this other stuff. And he kind of has this foreknowledge that he doesn't even know.
But, you know, he even says ancient logics in his quote, and it's just like, there it is.
He's basically the first person to sniff out, and he just goes, you know, like
something. And then he finds that camera.
Yeah, something's fucky. Like, before he even sees that, he's just like, something's fucky around here. Like,
yeah, and then
I can tell you've seen it.
No,
you need to. That's an amazing movie. Anyway, and then my second favorite line was Sitterson, the other guy. You know, there's Sitterson and Hadley. Sitterson goes, "Oh man, I'm sorry." And then Hadley goes, "He had the conch in his hands." Sitterson goes, "I know. A couple more minutes, who knows what might have happened?" Yes. And then Hadley just goes, "I'm never gonna see a merman ever." I just freaking love that. And then, you know, we were talking about how there's just huge build-up to finally actually see the merman.
Which I thought was masterfully played.
Dude, be thankful. Those things are terrifying, and the cleanup on them is a nightmare.
And then we see the cleanup, and it's like, fuck yeah, I don't want to bring that up.
It's like a sump pump on a vat of human flesh.
Ugh, yeah. Ugh.
It was really drastic.
A sump pump under the crawl space in my kitchen.
All right, so ratings?
I got a quote.
Yes.
I got a couple.
No.
No.
Okay, yes.
All right, fuck you, I'm the guest. Wait. Firefly Podcast. No, I got two, and I can't decide which one's my favorite, but... I don't remember who or where the first one was said, but someone says, "Your basic human needs disgust me." And that to me was such a Hellraiser line.
Oh yeah,
that was Morty.
Is that
that's it was Morty?
When Marty, you mean
Marty?
Marty, when they're going to go bang in the back room or whatever. Yeah. That
and then and then he's got a husband's bulge.
That's my number. Yeah. That's my other one. That is 100% my other one. So apparently, Marty.
That's from
my
the same scene.
It's the beginning of the scene, the end of the scene, right? Because he goes in, he reads his picture book or whatever, and he walks back out and he decides he's going to go for a walk of his own free will.
He's reading Little Nemo.
Little Nemo. And he walks by and he goes, "He's got a husband bulge."
And then the both of them just stare at each other awkwardly.
So hard during that scene. So yeah, those are my... So apparently both of my quotes come from Marty.
Yes. Because
that's fucking awesome.
So
he's my favorite character too.
Yeah. So, how about ratings? Let's rate this shit.
So, rate it now, please.
All right, Amanda, what you rating?
Erotic fan fiction.
Nice.
That's an awesome.
Slash fiction.
Wow. I want to rate this movie. I wrote down a couple of different ones.
All right.
Do it.
Okay. So, either I could rate this one 5 out of 5 sacrifices.
Nice.
3 out of 3 plot twists.
It's pretty good. It had beginning, middle, and end.
But this is my favorite one, and it's kind of esoteric, and it's only one scene in the movie, but I rate this movie 1 happy frog.
Oh, I like it.
When they take the grudge spirit, now they'll live happily in this body of this happy frog.
The spirit of Kamako will live happily in this frog.
Yeah,
I was waiting for one of them to bite the head off the frog. Like I seen the movie 4 times, and every single time I'm like, when are they gonna fucking eat the frog?
I had one other rating that is worth mentioning. There are a couple of those. Okay. There was one merman out of all the other monsters, but. I rate this movie, and this is because of Marty. I rate this movie all the weed.
I know. I'm going to let you go.
Rob, no?
What's your rating? Just do it.
I didn't have a really good one for this one.
So anyway.
Let's hear it. Come on.
I rate this one Thor splatted against the force field.
Okay.
That's 1 out of 1. I mean, if I'm going to go with a boring Bob rating, I would put this one at an 8 out of 10 because it's just that good of a horror movie. It takes tropes and turns them on their head and still uses them.
Yeah.
Effectively. And it still surprises. And I just think it's really great. So 8 out of 10.
I bet Chris Hemsworth was pretty Thor after filming. All right, Matt, what's your rating? This. Put me out of my misery, Matt.
Fucking had a good one, then I forgot it.
I told you to go first.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 horror character tropes / 1 out of get away from me, you bitch.
Nice.
Really
nice. I'll take it.
Is that
I'll
really
take
a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watch the movie.
She's there.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. Watch the movie.
What?
The director.
Yes. She's
your favorite other than
if you think that Joss Whedon was the director, you would be wrong. You'd also be right, but you would also be wrong.
Yes.
Mostly wrong, but also right.
Now, Carrie Fisher is not in the movie, but your second favorite actress of all time is in this movie.
Oh, Sigourney Fisher.
Sigourney Fisher.
All right, guys. So that was our really drunken review of
And he was like, click.
Yeah. A very amazing movie. Oh my god, this movie is so freaking awesome.
If you like horror movies, please watch Cabin in the Woods.
And here's the thing though, if you don't like horror movies, watch this fucking movie.
If you like movies and you've heard of horror movies, watch Cabin in the Woods.
If you do like horror movies and you don't like Cabin in the Woods, change your mind. You don't like horror movies because you're an uncultured swine.
Yeah, watch it. Watch twice, you fucking...
Horror movie / culture does not compute. Sorry, to me.
Suck my dick. It's too round.
Yeah.
It's too girthy.
It's too football shaped.
it's just too much dick.
Too much dick.
All right, guys.
Dick.
So
too many dicks on the dance floor.
Yes. Dick talk aside, thank you, Rob Weeks, for being here.
Who's that?
Yes, that was talk about cultured.
It's 4 a.m.
Thank you so much for hanging out and
on a Sunday morning.
Come back again.
Maybe
next time we will not.
yeah, Jason.
Yes. How is it my fault? I slept through most of it.
Okay.
That's true. So you can find me at Firefly Podcast.
Who are you?
I'm Rob Weeks. Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Zombie Slag. You can also go on iTunes and go on Firefly Podcast. Blah, blah, blah.
You heard it at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
And follow us at That Movie Podcast. That Movie Podcast. Facebook.com/ That Movie Podcast or thatmoviepod.blogspot.com. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
And also follow them at That Movie Pod on Twitter.
That's it. Oh, come on.
I got to say that.
Okay, I'm leaving.